Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
25, make it 26 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, brought to you in part by the World Boxing Council. You can always check out their interactive website. They've got everything going on there, from diets to training tips. I'm talking about WBCBoxing.com. On the line from the East Coast, of course, is the head doctor of the New York State Athletic Commission, Dr. Netan Sethi. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Pedro. How are you?
I am excellent, man. I'm always looking forward to talking to you. Of course, you shot me an article you recently wrote in the past couple of weeks. Should there be a mandatory age for retirement in boxing? Tell me how you researched that and what did you come up with?
Sure, Pedro. I was thinking that most boxers, you know, who turn pro, they do so in the early 20s. And as you know, they probably have a career which spans about 10 to 15 years, maybe till the mid-30s. But now, as we have seen, more and more professional boxers are boxing into the later years. And I think that's driven predominantly by economic factors. You know, they want to get the money, they want to make money, they want to have a living for themselves and their families. And also, as you know, there's been a tandem increase in boxers who are in their mid-40s, you know, sometimes late 40s, early 50s, who are coming out of their retirement to compete again in bouts which are marketed as exhibition matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, when these aging boxers, when they enter the ring, obviously they are potentially placing their health at risk. And the impetus to write that article was, how can we make some safeguards to protect these aging boxers, which will allow some of them to continue to box safely? You know, a lot of them have a lot of experience. They enrich our sport. Fans love them. They all have some really amazing skills and boxing wisdom, which is comes out of years of experience. But how can we do it safely? How can we protect them as these aging fighters again enter the ring?
Good question. How do you do that? And should there? But every individual is different. I mean, you know, how can I put this? I could compete. I'm in my 60s now, but I thought I could compete with guys my age or guys a few years younger than me. Still to this day, I run, that kind of good stuff. I keep myself in shape. But for the most part, guys, when they tend to retire from boxing, sort of let themselves go. So when they come back, they're not really what they were at one point in time. And, you know, I just think that I just don't know where you can draw the line, Doc. And that's why this article that you wrote about mandatory ages for retirement in boxing, I thought that's where it sort of made a lot of sense. That's why I wanted you to come on, because I'm just totally perplexed on it.
You raise a very good point, Pedro. You know, I'm now 47. You know, I've been boxing. If I look at my video when I was, you know, when I was working the bag, when I was in my 20s, and now when I work the bag and I'm in my 40s, you know, maybe I'm hitting the bag much more accurately. Maybe my technique is better, but my hand speed is definitely slow. So, you know, there's obviously an age-related decline in skills such as hand speed, footwork, durability, hand-eye coordination, flexibility. And you can make the argument that boxers are now more prone to concussion, more prone to traumatic brain injury, more prone to injuries in general, you know, like orthopedic injuries, rotator cuff tear, you know, hand injuries. So, but also, like you said, you know, this is not, you know, if you try to identify a fighter just based on age, that's neither error-free nor scientific. We can look at Manny Pacquiao. You know, he defies age. So professional boxers are elite athletes. You know, they have been doing demanding physical training. So they can mask some of their underlying physical vulnerabilities. So you may have a boxer who enters the ring, you know, you're masking that decline which has occurred. And, you know, he or she may be a wonderful fighter entering the ring.
Okay, but then things happen. Of course, age is crazy. You know, when you look at the fact that, like I said, Foreman was able to come back in his 40s and capture the World Heavyweight Championship, that was like a one-in-a-million shot. Now you've got guys that have been knocked out. And here's where my question to you is, Where do you draw the line on knockouts and severity of knockouts? I mean, do we consider each time a person's concussed a knockout? Or, I mean, how do you sort of add that up? And if a guy's been knocked out a certain amount of times, like, you know, I think about some of these football players like Steve Young, who was with the 49ers at one point in time. He retired because he had too many concussions. He knew when to say goodbye, but boxers, they don't.
And that's another good point that, you know, how do you identify that vulnerable boxer who himself, you know, he himself may lack insight of his decline. You know, everybody thinks age cannot touch me. I'm the same man I was 20, you know, but the boxer may lack insight of his decline. He may exercise in retrospective poor judgment by coming into the ring again, accepting another fight. And how do you make sure that you identify that fighter and provide him with the resources he or she needs, one, to protect their brain health, their heart health, and, you know, if they can fight, to allow them to fight. The idea of writing the article is not that there should be a mandatory retirement age. That's not going to go down well with any boxer. They would refuse to accept having a mandatory retirement age. No boxer, no promoter will allow that. And I can understand that. You know, we all, you know, it's in the end, you're fighting to make a living for yourself, for your family. Boxers fight not just for making money. They fight for fame, for glory, for their own self-esteem. As you probably know, when a lot of them retire, they take it pretty hard. You know, they become depressed, anxiety. Some of them fall prey to alcohol. So what I was trying to basically say was that maybe doing more episodic, more detailed medical evaluation of boxers after a certain age, let's say we cut put the age as 40, then we know that the incidence of decline occurs in physical attributes, that might be more appropriate, and that might include doing a more detailed neurological examination, maybe more MRIs, MRAs, a more good cardiac evaluation. And then based on that, you know, you try to identify fighters who need careful attention. Mm-hmm. And you say, probably, you know, listen, I don't think it's a good idea for you to fight. And the ones you feel they're fine, they can fight. You know, their skills are maintained. They are very good at what they're doing. No concerns are raised. And that's the reason why I kind of wrote this commentary, to make us think in that way.
Okay. But this is a sport where the young eats the old. That's the way it's done.
True. Young eats the old. And there's no substitute. You know, age is not just a number in boxing. I gave you my own example. So I think, the message which goes out is that when boxers are aging, they need to exercise good judgment. You know, you are more vulnerable to injuries, and you may enter that one fight where, for some reason, you may never come back, especially if you're accepting fights against younger, more stronger opponents. You might be able to match them when you were in your prime, but, you know, when you're in mid-40s, late-50s, late-40s, early-50s, it's a different ballgame.
Okay. I stretch in the bathtub each morning. I sort of do bathtub yoga because I've got some back issues and this and that. But a doctor told me when I was boxing one time, I was a kid, he goes, I didn't stretch. I just went out there and fought. I was like 13 years old. You didn't stretch at 13. Just went out there and did it. Anyway, he goes, you need to stretch. Anyway, bottom line was, I saw him about 10 or 15 years ago, and he told me that, you know, now that I've aged, that elasticity, the ability to stretch, is going to be more important than upper body strength as you age. Is that true?
I agree. You are more prone to pulling your muscles, having some sort of orthopedic injury like a tear off your rotator cuff if you're not stretching as you get older. So, you know, like I said, when I look at my videos, I feel my technique is more better, my punches are more on target, but I'm slow. I'm slow from what I was, and I think I hit the back less hard than as I used to hit when I was in my 20s. So, the whole thing is, the age is not a number when it comes to boxing, and you're right, it's a sport of the young. But, you know, we don't want to deny anybody, a boxer, to earn his or her living, you know, provided we can do it safely. And I think that's where I think the commissions, WBC, other organizations need to come up to develop some guidelines. And these are self-regulatory guidelines. Nobody wants to impose mandatory retirement age. Just self regulatory guidelines designed to protect the health of these older fighters, because I think we are going to see more and more of older fighters entering the ring and the cage.
Interesting. Now, real quick before I let you go, that article you did on mandatory retirement or question mark, is that published somewhere?
No, I'm in the process of publishing it. I've not published it yet. I just send it to you because I value your thoughts. But yeah, no, it's not published yet.
Well, when you do, get it to me. I love you, Doc. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Pedro. You have a good weekend.
Dr. Netan Sethi, the lead doctor for the New York State Athletic Commission. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. We're sort of featuring the voice of Tom Bowes today, the lone Caucasian lead singer for Tower of Power. Had a lot of black dudes, but Tommy was bad.